Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time! With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer. It's time.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming. We are live! This is It's Time Radio 2020. The show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry, we will voice it for you. We talk about everything on its time, and we will continue to. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, news, President Trump, film, TV, politics, you name it, we talk about it. It's No Holds Barred Radio. And here we are with our very first show for 2020. I'm here with my co-host of 11 years, TJ DeSantis. TJ, happy holidays. Hope it was wonderful holidays. And happy, happy new year.
Same to you, Buff. It was not the best holiday. I mean, it wasn't a bad holiday. Don't get me wrong. I enjoyed myself, enjoyed some, you know, time with family, but, right before Christmas week, someone smashed my car window and stole some, Christmas gifts out of there, stole my son's iPad, which totally sucked. And then, I got the flu.
All right. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Hey.
Now you got to celebrate the new year.
You know, at least that's in the past. And, you know, like you always say, start strong. I didn't end as strong as we normally like to, because you got to end strong to start strong. But
that's you know how I am.
Yep. But, you know, we got the flu done with, got past it, and, you know, back on the old grind again.
Very cool. I got to ask you one question, TJ.
Yes, sir.
The car with the Christmas gifts.
Yeah.
Did you leave the Christmas gifts in the car overnight outside?
No. So it's so crazy because my wife and I are generally really good about this. We went up to a place called Lake Arrowhead, which is in the mountains here, not too far from Los Angeles, near San Bernardino. And our friends just bought a cabin up there, and we brought a few Christmas gifts for them and some like home, you know, like housewarming presents. And we were running a little bit behind because we brought my dog up there, and I had to get the dog checked into the hotel.
Yep.
But finally got to where we were going, which was like a Santa's Village, they called it. It was like this little, like basically an amusement park.
Yeah, I'm familiar with
it. Right. And we parked the car and we're like, okay, well, we don't want to carry these gifts in. We'll just give them to them when we come out. I literally parked my car on the side of a cliff, Buff. Okay, like
they hit you right away. They just hit you right away. You were gone like how long? An hour?
No. I was gone for like 4 hours, and I went back after about 2 hours to get something out of the car, and the car was fine. Here's what happened. In one of the bags of gifts for our friends was a bottle of wine, and I think some punk kid saw that there was a bottle of wine in there, and
went
decided to smash the car window and you know, grab it. I personally think it was someone that was working from there. Because this was nothing but families with small kids.
Inside job, bad timing.
Yeah.
Hopefully it all worked out.
Well,
and your son is happy for Christmas.
I got to do something that I hadn't done prior to this event. And that was, we rented a car and I drove a Tesla for about 2 or 3 days.
How'd you like it?
I need to get about $75,000 because I need to buy this car.
Yeah, they're incredible cars. I've driven them. I was out car shopping because my gift to myself for Christmas was a new car. I've been driving
my beloved S63 AMG. I've had it for, you know, about 8 years, I think. And people always say, why don't you get a new car? I go, I drive one of the greatest cars on the road with a hand-built 560 horsepower engine. I don't care if it's 8 years old because it looks brand new. It's black on black. It looks like the Batmobile. Oh. I love this car. Wait.
Yeah.
I've always told myself, don't get emotional about cars. But I was emotional about my car. I loved it so much. And again, I'm not the kind of guy that needs to drive a new car every year. I've got plenty of friends that do, I got to have the new this. I got to have the new that.
You proved that. I mean, you drove this car for the better part of a decade.
I'm not into images. I don't care about all that. I care about what I like. So I got the car. I had the car. They're coming today to pick it up after the podcast. And I went out and I got myself a beautiful brand new S550 Mercedes. Not brand new, brand new, like. What I do, here's what I do, TJ, and this is, I'm telling this to the audience out there too. Cars are very expensive. Can I afford a new Mercedes? I'm happy to say yes, I can. Do I need to spend that much money? Because the moment you drive it off the lot, 30% right out the door. And these cars are, you know, very expensive. So if you buy a Mercedes or another car, and you get it from a dealership that does the recertification where they take it, they make the car brand new. This car only has 13,000 miles on it. I bought it just broken in, but it has already gone down 40% in value for when it's brand new. So basically, I bought the car for a huge discount, and it's got everything in a TJ. It's like a James Bond mobile. It's beautiful.
That's
I love it. Very happy. I'm selling the other car, put it in. It all wipes itself out. Got a great deal. But I for some reason, I just, unless it's a Ferrari or something, which I don't care about anyway. I'm not a Ferrari guy. I don't care if I own one.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do with a Ferrari in Southern California?
I drove one for a couple of months that my business partner had. I was gonna buy it, and I said, you know what? I already drove it. I'm done.
Right.
It's great.
I mean, yeah, I feel like that's having a race car without the track. You know what I mean? Like, you're gonna get in that to go 55 miles an hour, at most on the 405 in the middle of the day, like. It'd be great to drive in the weekend and maybe when everyone's gone, but it'd be so rare that you get to open that thing up that I think it would be more of a tease than anything.
You know, if you got a lot of FU money hanging around, you know,
sure.
What I mean?
Yeah, joking.
Then you go ahead and buy it and you put it in the garage, you drive it once a week. But bottom line, I used to drive 10 to 15,000 miles a year. I'm lucky if I drive 3,000 to 5,000 miles a year.
Yeah, I drive like 22,000 miles a year.
Yeah, you drive a long ways. But anyway, you know, it's always good. I'm going to tell you something else. So I'm telling people little bits of how to buy a car if you want to do it. And again, you're getting like a brand new car. Car's under warranty. It's brand new. It looks awesome. Very happy. When I was going to trade in my car, right, for trade-in value, the new tax laws that went into effect, get this, TJ. If you trade in your car, when you buy a car, let's say you get $20,000 as an example for the trade-in, you are going to get 1099 by the IRS, and you're going to have to pay taxes on the trade-in.
What?
Yep.
How does that work? Because you're getting taxed on something that is an asset to you already.
I do not know. All I know is when I called my accountant telling him I was going to make this purchase and, you know, how he wanted me to do it, he said, don't trade in your car. A, you're going to get less money than selling it on your own. That's obvious. So I have a guy selling it. He's picking it up after the show, as I said. But
oh, man, this is good for me because I'm buying a car this weekend.
Well, I'm telling you right now, call your accountant and ask or whatever, but this is my accountant told me. You will be 1099.
First, I'll have to get an accountant.
Okay. I'm only going by what my accountant told me, and I'm like you. I'm like, what?
No, you're kidding. I find that crazy because the car is already yours. You know what I mean? Like, you own the car.
I gotcha. I gotcha.
Yeah. Like, I feel that's being taxed doubly on money. But because, I mean, when you trade in the car, it's not like you're getting money. You're just getting money off. There's no transaction there. I'm never in hand of monetary currency, but I don't know. I find that odd. Yeah, I got to go buy a new car, unrelated to the car window incident, but I think I'm going to buy another Audi.
The Audis are incredible cars. Tesla are incredible cars. Mercedes are incredible cars. You can't go wrong German. German cars are incredible. But what I also did, TJ, is that I went into the dealership on December 31st afternoon. Normally, the end of the month is the best time to buy a car from dealerships because they have to make the quotas, whatever. Yeah. The last day of the year is the greatest day in the world to buy a car.
I never thought about that.
Yeah, I went in. They gave me a price. Said, no, this price. They said, yes.
You like, named your price, and they said, okay.
They said, yeah. They came back. I said this. They said that. And it was only $400 more than what I said. And I said, done.
Wow.
Let's do this.
Good for you.
And they, They move at the end of the year, new year. Great.
I wish I would have known that.
Well, you know it now.
Yeah.
But or wait till the end of the month. Just wait till the end of January.
Yeah.
Always go in the last week, the last few days.
Well, now I'm thinking about actually selling my car.
And then going in.
And then going in because I don't, you know, I mean, you can argue that I'll be 1099 or not 1099 per se, but maybe I have to sell. Like, that's the thing. If I sell my car, do I have to pay taxes on the sale of the car?
I don't see how that can possibly be the case. See, that's my problem. I don't see how the trader could be the case. I don't see if that could be the case
because
you're selling for less than you paid for it. That's not profit.
Right. And like, I mean, that's like telling me I need to pay sales tax on it.
You know what? Good luck to you. Just get the car you want and deal with whatever.
Seriously, like this is a headache.
Well, here's a worse headache. The whole, let's get onto the news.
Right.
The whole Iranian situation. I mean, first off, let's hold off on that and let's go into the fires in Australia.
The fires
in Australia. I mean, this is like I have tears in my eyes every time I look at this. Over 500,000 animals have been killed. Okay. Have died, you know, from as a result of the fires. And it's growing. I think it's growing exponentially higher. TJ, there was an article the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact. They are going to execute. They are going to shoot 10,000 camels.
Why?
Okay. Because they're drinking too much water that they need to put out the fires.
Oh, my God.
So aside from the natural horrific deaths that are occurring, they are literally going out. And they are going to kill more than 10,000 camels.
What are they going to do with the camels? Like, I hope that they're going to be put to good use. Like, what do you do?
I don't know. What do you do with
a camel? I don't know. Like,
I have no idea.
I mean, we don't eat camels in this country, but
I'm sure the whole automated system of everything down in Australia is upside down. You know, as far as I don't know what they do. They'll probably put them in a ditch and burn. I don't know. You know, the country is in serious trouble.
This is the worst fire of our time, honestly.
Incredible. And now it's reported there's more than 500 earthquakes that have rattled Puerto Rico in 10 days.
Wait,
what? With more to come. More than 500 earthquakes have rattled the Puerto Rico region in 10 days.
Is that a bit dubious in the sense like we have 45 earthquakes every day in California? You know what I mean? Like, We have tremors every second, right?
Yeah, they could be tremors to your neighbor.
You say rock.
But they say rattled, so there may be a little higher. You've got to be more detail on it. But, you know, the fact of the matter is it doesn't make the headline news unless it's obviously something more than the norm. If I hear one person say that they don't believe in what's going on with the climate and what we need to do, I just don't understand how people can be this ignorant.
I think the debate at this point now is not if climate change is real. It's what is affecting it. And I mean, if you are going to sit there and tell me that climate change isn't happening, we're not on the same intelligence level to have a conversation. Therefore, I don't want to talk to you because you can't like not acknowledge the fact that weather is changing drastically.
No, you can't. It's just one of those conversations. It's almost like not like politics and religion. I think climate should be talked about at the dinner table.
Right.
People got to be aware of what's going on.
Bruce, the Midwest doesn't even really have winter anymore. Like, there's a handful of places that actually get an accumulation of snow that sticks around for months on end. But most of the Midwest now in this country has snowstorms where the snow will go away within a couple of days, or it just has freezing rain. And if you look back at the 90s or 80s, they had a much more traditional winter with months and months and months of snow on the ground. That's the way that winter is supposed to be in that part of the country. And now basically you have to go to Wisconsin or South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota to actually get that traditional winter. If you're in a place like Iowa, Kansas, Illinois, you don't get that massive amount of snowfall that sticks around anymore.
Well, you do get it in Wausau, Wisconsin. Have you ever been there?
I have not.
Okay.
I've heard of it, though.
They just tweaked a nearly 50-year-old law in Wausau, Wisconsin that prohibited throwing snowballs within city limits. They had a 50-year ban on snowball fights, and they're now lifting the ban on snowball fights. It's probably never really been enforced.
Nah,
but the news is, I mean, you believe they had a ban on snowball fights.
You know what I want? I want to go back to whenever that law was passed and like read the newspaper.
Because, 1962.
Like obviously, 1962. Some sort of incident in 1962, Buff, had to lead to that. You know what I mean?
I agree with you, but here's the ordinance. Here's what it reads. And it follows into other things. No person shall shoot any objects, arrow, stone, snowball, or projectile by hand or by any other means at another person at or into any other building, street, alley, sidewalk, highway, park, playground, or a public place within the city. Okay, that's they could have eliminated a snowball. But then again, yeah, you know, look, I got hit. I threw an ice ball into a guy's I was a kid.
Yeah.
And that was a total accident on my part.
Well, I mean, you know, anybody that grew up in the Midwest knows the dreaded ice ball that, you know, may or may not be thrown intentionally.
Right. Right.
That'll ruin your day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's that could be dangerous. Anyway.
They always seem to hit your eye, too, Buff. They never just, like, hit the side of your arm. It's always, like, in the face.
Well, I never had a black eye from a snowball, but I've had a black eye from other things. But I think the black eye from a snowball, well thrown, could be a lot worse. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the ice chunk is the one that always hits you in the head. The other snowballs hit you like anywhere else, but the ice chunk, that one gets you.
I remember I was in a nightclub many years ago with Tito Ortiz and,
Lee Murray.
No, not Lee.
That was a different time, man.
That was a different nightclub at a different time.
There are fans that have no idea what we're talking about right now. If you're ever bored, Google that.
God, I'm trying to remember this fighter's name. Big heavyweight fighter out of Arizona.
Heavyweight fighter out of Arizona.
ADCC. He was in the ADCC, the whole bit. Friend of Tito.
Mark Kerr?
No. Oh, man. I'll get this sooner or later. I don't want to waste too much time trying to think about it. But speaking of an ice ball, I remember I was talking to a girl in the nightclub that he wanted to talk to, and he was 20 feet away from me, and he hit me with an ice ball in the back of the neck.
Oh, man.
In the nightclub. And I got to tell you, that hurt. I can imagine getting hit in the front of the face.
It wasn't McCauley.
No. Gosh, I'll get it. I'll try to get it by the end of the show. We were friends. It's okay. We all laughed it off, but I got to tell you, that hurt. If it wasn't him or anybody else, I would have had an issue in that nightclub, and that's all I know. But don't talk to somebody else. And when somebody else is interested, when your buddy's interested, don't talk to him, guys. Let him do his work. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
Okay, wingman time. All right, that went nowhere. So let's go forward. All right, so...
I don't want to talk about the news. Like, that's where I'm at right now.
Well, we got a few things we got to talk about.
I know.
Uber's released a safety report. You know what it reveals? There were 235 rapes last year.
Oh, my God.
235 rapes. Now, I know Uber is very wide, and, of course, they're hiring people that are, you know, coming in for the job. I mean, how much background check is done, but...
I bet you more than you think, but apparently not enough.
Yeah, that's horrible. I mean, I can't comment. It's just, you know, it's a headline, but it's crazy. It's crazy.
Is that 100% like, you know, driver passenger, or is it something along the lines of like if a passenger, you know, violated another passenger, would that be in these statistics as well?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm assuming the way that it's being reported is probably, you know, driver on passenger or vice versa, but... I mean, that's crazy.
It's crazy. It's a crazy total. I use Uber all the time. I doubt anybody's going to come after me that way, but I use Uber all the time. And it's just, it's the old story. You just got to be careful. You got to be careful on everything.
I mean, a lot of it, I think, has to do with people taking advantage of drunk people who may pass out in the car. I mean, my thing is a lot of people, they get so drunk that they don't know, you know, what's going on. And, I don't think that, you know, a violation of that magnitude is probably the most common thing that happens in those situations. But I can't imagine that people aren't getting pickpocketed left and right when they pass out and, you know, the Uber driver tries to wake them up or get them out of their destination or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. Yeah, there's many different variables that can happen.
If I go out after, you know, or have a hard night of drinking and I get home and I don't remember getting out of the car, but the Uber guy apparently like removed me from the vehicle and my wallet's gone, I'm going to have a hard time saying the Uber driver took it because maybe I lost it at any other point of the night when I was, you know, hammered drunk.
If you're hammered, you're hammered. You can't even recall what happened that night. So,
tying two things together, my buddy, he bought a Tesla and he does Uber with it. And if you think about it, it's kind of brilliant because you have no gas, you know, money. It's pretty much 100% all profit. But he's had multiple people throw up in his incredibly expensive car.
Jesus.
Because, I mean, that's what people use Uber for, you know?
Yeah.
And they only give you like $100 to clean it.
Yeah, you know what? Uber's great. I use it all the time. And what can I say? It's all buyer beware. Be careful, people. Just keep your eyes open, whatever you do. TJ, we were talking about the climate control.
Yeah.
2019 officially is the second hottest year in history on record. Second hottest year.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's for a variety of reasons, I think. You know, we can get into those reasons, but maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. I don't want to start debate.
No, you know, there is a variety of reasons, but I think we already covered it, and we can have a whole show dedicated to the climate situation, but I think it's pretty obvious.
What worries me is again, about, you know, the fires that we talked about at the top. Like, it's obviously devastating for that part of the world, and the people that are impacted directly. But, I mean, think of all the toxins that are being, you know, put in the air.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'm going to switch to stories here for a second. We had touched on, you know, things are happening in the world that people have to really take notice of right now. The bombing of Iran, right? Or Iran's bombing of Iraq.
Right.
You know, so far the claim is there's been no U.S. casualties. The president says no Americans were harmed in the attacks on the bases which house U.S. troops in Iraq. And he promises sanctions. We're in a very tepid area here for a few days to see where this world is going to turn. But I'm hoping, and my gut tells me, that it's not going to blow up the way that the fearful, you know, the highest fear threat we possibly could have and what could happen.
It seems like it's de-escalating right now.
I hope it is. I hope it is. But then you have other situations that happen surrounding this. As an example, the Screen Actors Guild buildings in L.A. and New York City, the headquarters, they've been put on alert. They've received phone calls saying to the effect of, the person saying he's going to blow up the L.A. and New York SAG offices. Okay, the phone threat was on the West Coast, was less specific, but the caller said he was unhappy with the president of the United States and the situation with Iran, according to law enforcement, and the drone attack that killed him and threatened to blow up SAG headquarters in L.A. So as a result of this, immediately the buildings are evacuated, the police are involved. New York did not evacuate, but NYPD responded, took a report, you know, for what they call aggravated harassment. These little things, amongst other things, God knows what's going to go on. It's like we're just on a powder keg right now. And I hope it doesn't blow, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, that I think is what is most scary about the world now, especially with this 24-hour news cycle, is we hear everything pretty much as it happens. And it's almost reporting first before there's due diligence made, and you don't know what the whole story is. And immediately we have these political pundits on television sort of prognosticating what may or may not happen from what just happened. And I hate to say it, Bruce, but I think there's some fear mongering there, whether it's intentional or not. We immediately start to digest things before we even know the whole story. And then there's predictions about what they may mean for the future.
One thing I wish the media would get a hold of, and they won't, because they want to create as much sensationalism or as much stuff they can to sell their soap. Okay. Don't create fear. Don't elevate fear amongst the American public.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Fear gets a reaction. Fear.
I know it does. I know it does. It's just a shame.
No, it's bad. And, you know, my biggest thing, too, is just the narrative in which the news is reported. Like, I don't need a narrative. I don't need a point of view with my news. I just need the news. And when America launched the attack that killed the Iranian commander, multiple news outlets had different sort of stories on really what that guy was. Like, at first I heard that he was a part of their, government funded military, and then I heard that he was a terrorist, and then I heard that he was just a dude in a militia. And it's like, can someone please just give me the news, like the facts, not like what we should or shouldn't be doing? Like, I don't care what CNN or MSNBC or Fox News thinks about, you know, Donald Trump's decision to take this guy out. I just want to know who he is before I make that decision on whether or not it was a good call.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Go ahead. You seem distracted today, Buff. You all right?
No. I just got something that took me away for a second. Sorry.
Something
came through. No, I'm not distracted. I apologize.
No, you're good. You're good. You probably got lost in the news.
Yeah, I got lost in the news a little bit, but I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. You know, I'm sorry. I didn't react there to you.
No, you're right. You're right.
I'm with you the whole way. Okay, let's elevate a little farther here. Sharon Stone was kicked off Bumble for an alleged faked account.
Oh, man.
She went on Bumble, right? And they thought she was a fake because she's Sharon Stone.
Well, of course.
You know, so they kicked her off Bumble. So when that was publicized, my brother Michael, for fun, he tweeted Sharon Stone that I was available and what a great guy I am. She really wants to meet a great guy.
Oh, that's funny.
That was funny. You got a lot of reaction to that. I thought it was a cracker.
I don't know if Sharon Stone could keep up with you.
Yeah, well, you know, back in the days of what was that famous movie she did?
All of them?
Yeah, all of them. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe won't be able to keep up with Sharon Stone. No, she won't be able to keep up with me. I like what you said. That's good.
Yeah, let's go with that.
You know, Sharon Stone, I remember one time is reportedly Mensa. Very, very, very high IQ.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I could see it'd be a lot of fun to have dinner with a brain, you know, and a beauty like Sharon Stone. So,
all right, we'll set that up.
Hey, if she had contacts me, I would entertain it. All right, so now
we should do that. We should give away a date with Bruce Buffer.
Oh, slow down, Simba. I think we talked about that a while
back. Yeah, let's do the dating game. We'll take applications. We'll vet all the applicants.
Oh, I'm just not into blind dates. Ugh.
Well, I mean, you'd get to meet him before you go out on the date.
Yeah, I got you. It might be too much work that's needed. We'll talk about it, TJ. Let's not elaborate too much on the show right now.
I'm looking for a project. This is the project.
That would be a project, that's for sure.
It'll make some waves. Let's go.
All right. Well, in about 10 years, the person I'm going to tell you about right now will be dating. But until they do, they're one of the richest people on earth. The highest YouTube earner.
Oh, my God.
The highest YouTube earner.
I don't know if I want to hear this, Bruce. This is going to hurt my heart.
In 2019, this person named Ryan has 22.9 million subscribers.
Yeah, and he's and like, he what, seven?
Earned $26 million.
And how old is he?
Eight.
Yeah,
years
okay. Sorry.
Old. All he does is review toys on YouTube.
And is that still a thing now? Because I know they changed their policies, and nobody like you can't monetize videos that are targeted for children anymore.
Well, maybe the question is, what are those videos about? I mean, this is simply reviewing toys,
right?
And it's not even asked.
But it's a child who's reviewing child toys. How is that not targeting children? Hmm. You know what I mean? If it was an adult, you know, and giving like specs on, yes, parents, buy this for your kids. It costs this much money. It's very durable. The return policy is this. That's not targeting kids. But a kid opening toys, reviewing them, and potentially even playing with them, that's for children.
That's interesting. I'd like to see how that pans out. But, you know, here it's getting so much publicity, which is going to drive so many other people. I'll tell you, Rupert is very, very good at buying band shoes, all white. And this is done on the internet already and being sold. And then he hand paints them, right?
Right.
And they look beautiful. And I go, Rupert, my God, they're so good. He goes, yeah, they sell them on the internet. I said, well, why don't we start a little business? I'll help you. And you're so good at this, and then I'll help you go on eBay. We'll try to sell one of the pair of shoes. I think cost of Vans is $70. His time. I know they sell these other shoes for $200 to $400 or so, but I say put the shoe on for $150. Let's see if it sells. We'll come up with a name, and I'll help you start a little business. I want to teach him business.
Oh yeah, no, it's a great way.
And then if he sells one shoe, I go, Rupert, now if you do this and we sell two pair a month, look at all the money you're going to have.
Right.
You know?
And I like that, Bruce, because you're teaching him two things. One, you're teaching him a creative, well, he's already engaging in a creative skill, and then he's finding out how to monetize that. And that's really special.
Exactly. And he's 11 years old, you know, so about to be 12 next month. So it's going to be great.
If you shoot YouTube videos of him painting the shoes, then you can push Ryan out of there. And he can make $26 million on YouTube.
Well, actually, that's all part of it. I would love for him to have a little YouTube channel if he wants to. It's all about what he wants. So I want him to taste it in doing this first thing with me. He's already, like, he's such an artist. He loves it. He even painted, he and his brother, I gave them Apple Watches, you know, the inexpensive Apple Watch, the first model, which they love. And last night, we're out at dinner for Henry, who's 15 now, celebrated yesterday at 6'2 and 15.
Oh my God. Has he been drafted by the Knicks?
Well, speaking of draft, when they heard the bombs got, you know, fell yesterday, the first words out of he and a couple of his friends who were at the dinner table was, are they going to start the draft? Right? Because they think about that.
Right.
You know, what's going to be their future? And so we'll see. But anyway, getting back to the Rupert situation, you know, at 11 years old to do that, I like to nourish this. I want to nourish these creative and these business ideas. It's so great. And you're going to see this in your son, too. And people out there that have had daughters and sons and watched them grow. I'm seeing so many incredible, wonderful changes between 11 and 15. The conversation's better. It's very interesting. You know, there's rough moments, but then it's very interesting and beautiful to see how these kids are growing up.
Yeah.
And they're growing up to be amazing kids. And I'm very happy about my godson and my nephew. And all that I've been involved with them in their lives. I really love watching them grow. It's very, very cool.
Yeah,
so
the maturation process of children is really something special. And I think you hit the nail on the head. There are certain years where they just grow leaps and bounds and show just these brilliant flashes of, honestly, adulthood while being children still. And it's really refreshing to hear a young person who has no sort of bias or you know, any sort of jaded point of view on things, talk about these things, and it kind of makes you feel positive for the future.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's wonderful. They are our future, and it all starts at home, folks. Take care of those kids. They are our future. Be strong, be disciplined, but definitely help them grow and love life. You know, I don't know, there's many ways to say that. Speaking of kids, Fortnite, you know, this whole video game thing, we talk about it all the time. I was talking to Rick Fox, the ex-NBA champion for the Lakers. He trains with my trainer at the gym. We were talking, and he is with Echo, one of the largest esports organizations that I hope to start doing some work with this year. I've already announced and appeared for esports, and I noticed how big it's getting even when I started this a couple years ago. But give you an example. Fortnite gave out $100 million in tournament winnings last year for tournaments for Fortnite. Fortnite made $1.8 billion in 2019.
Oh, my God.
I have to say that.
In a free game. Let's not forget, the game is free.
It's free, but there's...
Oh, there's plenty of things to buy, for sure.
But to buy within the game.
I'm just saying, like, the fact that it is a free video game and nothing that you can actually buy in the game will affect your play. You know that, right, Bruce? Like, you can't buy a gun that makes you shoot better. You can buy a gun that looks different and makes your character look cool, but the things that you buy in the game will not make you a better player.
Exactly, unless you're one of these cheaters that happened to one recently who got banned for life from Fortnite, where he put in an aim bot, which helps him to aim faster.
Right, yeah.
But that's cheating. That's cheating, and there's no excuse for cheating. I hate cheaters. Okay, so now... it took in $1.8 billion in sales. There were other billion-dollar games out there. Candy Crush still continues to crush it.
That's amazing to me because, I mean, like, it's not a terrible game, but it's also something that doesn't really grab me to play every day for years, and apparently it has for others.
I don't play it every day. I know Joe Silva, the ex-matchmaker for the UFC, was on it every day. Everywhere we go, it was Candy Crush. I'm up to over 200 levels in Candy Crush, but I've been playing the game for 2 years, and it's like something I pull out on an airport.
Yeah, you know, you also sit on a plane a good chunk of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I might not play it for 3 weeks, and then I'm on a plane. I'll play it for, you know, 10 minutes. So that's all. Okay, so now there's Candy Crush, Pokemon Go, Dungeon Fighter Online. I'm not familiar with that one. And, of course, FIFA, which is huge, and Call of Duty, Modern Warfare. These are the biggest games that are out there. But it's predicted that by this one individual... show you right here. FaZe Clan president, okay, of gamers. Name is, he says gamers make, eventually gamers. The claim is, and everybody's been saying this, it will attract more viewers than the Super Bowl. Some of these big gaming extravaganza. It's just a prediction.
Yeah.
But they feel that eventually the gamers will make as much as NFL players. I mean, there are gamers that are reportedly, like this guy FaZe Bank, esports stars FaZe Bank, reportedly worth around $3 million. And gaming legend Ninja, who a lot of people have heard of, claims he makes $500,000 a month, right? So esports eventually, their claim is going to overtake the popularity of the four major sport leagues, where the thing is going. And this is stated by a 44-year-old man who is in the business of making this per his business model for his business.
That's crazy.
Now, again, this is conjecture, but the numbers are out there to say it's going to happen.
Well, the thing about it, Bruce, is the Super Bowl is great, but it is very niche. The entire world doesn't watch football. I mean, I don't know if anybody
watches. Did I lose you, TJ?
No, I'm here. You got me?
TJ, you there?
I'm right here.
Oh, I'm sorry, bro. I thought I lost you for a second.
No, right here. The football is a very niche sport. You know, outside of America, I don't know if anybody watches it. And video games, especially the biggest video games, can be played and enjoyed by everyone everywhere.
Everybody. I know.
And these things are all online. So, like, these game tournaments, all you need is an internet connection. For the Super Bowl, you know, there's still television rights deals. I think that number is different. Like, I don't know if 500 million people watching on the internet is as good, is it valued as much as someone watching, you know, on television? I don't know.
Well, you know, the thing is, when I've talked to gamers, when I talk to professional gamers, the reason they bring me in, obviously, is because of what I do for things other than UFC, to come in and hype up the event and promote the event. But they tell me that basically, I said, well, listen, is this the same demographic of people that watch UFC? And the average answer I get is that half of them probably do, but the other half are so absorbed in their video games. This is what they do all day, you know. And the question is, do they watch football? Do they watch sports? No, they're on these games. They're on these games playing. You know, another issue with growing kids, too. I mean, we've talked about this before on the show, too. Speaking of sports, TJ, did you hear a young girl that was hit by a foul ball at an Astros game now? It's been determined. The poor girl, she was hit 7 months ago, and now she's got permanent brain damage.
That's terrible.
The cognitive effects of the effect of the baseball is the same as if she had the equivalent of a stroke on the girl's nervous system.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate and sad, but
so sad, so unfortunate.
And that's why, you know, we need to take every precaution to make sporting events like that as safe as possible. I don't think they need to net the entire stadium, but there definitely are areas of baseball parks where there's seats, and it's just like there's nothing at all separating you from a foul ball. And, you know, those hits can go everywhere with really great force, and unfortunately, sometimes these sort of events take place.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. It's not the first time I've heard about a situation happening at a baseball game. I've heard of things as soccer games. I mean, we've all heard different things. It's the luck of the draw, but, you know, very tragic in its own way. I just best wishes go out to her. I just would love to her to have a completely full recovery. On the business side of things, and I know sometimes we change stories quick, especially when we talk about stories like this, but that's what reporting on the news and conversations on a lifestyle show is like. So I'm going to switch over to another subject here. But are you familiar with Jennifer Lopez's new movie, Hustlers?
Movie? Yeah. I think it's already come out, right? It's already come and gone?
Yeah, it's already come out. I saw it. It's an excellent film. It's actually based on a true story. It was based on a true story, the woman whose story it was based on, which claims that, and TMZ claimed this back in September, her name is Samantha Barbash, and she was upset because she received a lowball offer from the producers. But now she's claiming the character in the movie is portrayed as using and manufacturing illegal substances in her home where she lived with her child. She's claiming it was untrue and offensive because it is based on a true story. So now, as people go for it, whether right or wrong, but she's suing for $40 million, $20 million in compensatory damages, $20 million in punitive damages. She wants a order requiring producers to turn over all copies of the movie. I know I give up that, but believe me, if the judgment comes down, that's exactly what will happen. And they're not suing J-Lo personally. They're suing her production company. But that's still J-Lo. So she's still getting sued. This happens all the time in the world of Hollywood. But, you know, people smell money. The movie comes out, does very well, critically acclaimed. And boom, now she's coming in for her share of the profits.
Well, there you go.
What can you say? You know, that's life in the big city, folks.
Right.
The Bullitt Mustang. Do you remember the Steve McQueen? Or I know we do this on film, TJ.
Yeah.
The New Year. Have you ever seen the classic movie Bullitt, which created and emphasized car chase scenes unlike any other movie in history before it?
No.
Okay. The famous movie has a green Ford Mustang in it, of which there were only like three made for the film. They just found one. The last Mustang, the highest Mustang that ever sold at auction was $2.2 million, which is paid for a 1967 Shelby GT500, a I'd love to have that car. Another auction car, muscle car, was sold for $3.5 million. They believe that because of the uniqueness that this was driven by Steve McQueen in the movie Bullet, which is a huge cult film. I don't know if cult film is a word, but a legendary film. It's just known by, you know, all movie buffs out there. And I'm not saying that to for you to take offense.
I'm not a movie buff, Buff.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. But I've talked about McQueen's memorabilia and what it's gone for before, from a watch he wore in the movie Le Mans that sold for $750,000. My estimate is on this car, which actually has holes in it where cables were put in because of the cameras that were mounted in the car when they were filming the chase scene, this car could easily sell for probably $3 to $4 million.
Damn.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I know you never have time, but when you have some time, you should try to check your schedule for April. There is a it's a ranch near my house. I think they actually are kind of like a reform school for young boys who kind of lose their way. But on April 6th or 7th, there's probably UFC that day. There's a huge Steve McQueen car show out here.
Let me tell you about that auction or about that show.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about, I forget the name of it, but Steve was actually lived there as a young man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, and yeah. It's called Boys Republic.
Boys Republic. That's it. The Boys Republic. And Steve was always donating to that. And, you know, we talked before how we were friends the last 6 years of his life.
Yeah.
But Chad, his son, they still do a lot for the Boys Republic. If I'm not mistaken, that's a yearly event.
Yep, it is.
It goes on there. And that's because of the association that Steve McQueen had with that. Yeah.
The more you know. And, wow.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that that's still going on because, you know, that's
it's a big
great
deal.
Yeah, it's a big deal. I actually, Chad's going to be there. What day is that?
I think it's April 6th and 7th.
Okay, I'm going to make a note. April 6th and 7th, which falls on a Monday and Tuesday. I'm going to talk to Chad, and if he's there, I'm going to come down.
That's great. Yeah, if you come out, like literally it's 2 miles from where I live.
Okay, it's the Boys Republic, right?
Yeah, and Chino Hills.
Chino Hills. It's April 6th and 8th. I'm making you know. I'm serious about this.
No, it'd be great. Maybe if we do it, maybe you get it cleared by him and we'll bring a recorder and do a little interview and talk.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I'm making this down. I'm going to try and make this happen. Okay, I'll call Chad. I got to call him anyway. I want to talk to him about this Mustang I'm reading about here, because I know he's been involved in actually licensing Ford to make a Steve McQueen Mustang.
But it's a no-brainer.
Well, they made a version of it, and Chad drove it through Ireland. This was about 2 years or a year ago, I forget. But the McQueen estate, just for memorabilia, we talked about this in the show before, like Marilyn Monroe, Michael Jackson, James Dean, makes millions of dollars a year in licensing that still goes on all around the world, because we're talking about one of the biggest movie stars in the history of movies, which a lot of people that listen to our show and people under the age of 30 might not be familiar with, and that's okay. This is the past.
I think under the age of 30 is honestly conservative.
Probably so. Yeah, probably so. Unless you're a film buff.
Yeah. And again, like, I'm not saying anything disparaging by any means. It's just, you know, a lot of those older films just don't get the shine. Like, when's the last time you saw a Steve McQueen movie on TBS? You know what I mean? Like, those films don't get broadcast airplay anymore. And I think they should.
I'm not arguing with you, but I watched The Cincinnati Kid, which is one of the greatest poker movies ever made with Steve McQueen, on that station just 3 weeks ago.
That's great. Maybe I'm wrong. That also, I think, sort of says something along the lines of we don't watch TV the way that we used to either.
Oh, God, that nothing is like the way it used to be. Everything is changing. You know, and again, I'll say this, as I've said it before in the show, if you're in business and your personal life, you have to adapt. You need to adapt and accept what's going on to move forward, because it's just going to get more so, and you'll be left in the wind. You'll be left in the dust, especially in business. I'm talking about the social media world, the way things are going, how to market. Got to stay on top of things, folks. I am every day paying attention to these changes in society and methodology and technology for the future marketing of the two brands that I work with, which are, of course, my brand and my legendary brother, Michael Buffer, and the Let's Get Ready to Rumble brand, amongst other things that I'm involved in. I've got a couple of big announcements coming up, TJ. I can't wait to announce on the show. I'm just teasing you right now, but I've got a couple of big announcements, and they will be made very soon. On film, TJ, I saw the movie Joker.
Oh, yeah, I just saw it, too, over the holiday break.
Okay. Scale of 1 to 10. How'd you like it?
Probably an 8, 9.
Okay, it is a very fine film. I'll tell you my problem that I had when I watched it. I've had this problem with Tarantino films. I've had this problem with other films. I even had it with Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, where I didn't quite, I liked it, but I didn't love it. And then I watched the second time, and I loved it. And I'm this way with almost every Tarantino movie out there. Maybe it's because there's so many things that happen in his films. You got to see it twice to get all the nuances and everything down. Joker was one of the darkest movies I've ever seen. The performance by Joaquin Phoenix, the performance, it's best actor of the year. It's the only one I think that gives him a run for his money is the English actor that played Elton John in his movie.
Oh, yeah, Rocketman.
Yeah, Rocketman. I mean, the performance by that actor is incredible. They both won Golden Globes the other night on Sunday night for their performances. But Joaquin Phoenix's performance, the losing of the weight, the whole transformation, his laugh started to get to me, TJ. It started to irritate the crap out of me. An hour into the movie. But that last 20 minutes of that film, holy shit.
Yeah, don't watch this in like the middle of the day.
People, no.
Because your day's going to be ruined. After it. I'm not like giving any sort of spoilers here. Like, it's just a dark film and your outlook on everything's not going to be great.
It's not a good movie. It's not a feel good movie.
No, film. No. And but what I think is so amazing, and I think this furthers your point about Phoenix's performance. This is a character that is not really like him. Like, his personality that we've seen in the past, like, I didn't think that this was really honestly going to be a good fit for him. And he just pulls it off. I mean, he lives the character. It is crazy.
I agree. And I think I'll be picking up the statuette in April or March, whenever it is. But I'm going to watch it again. My brother Michael thinks it's probably the best film of 2019. Gary said the last 30 minutes is some of the greatest movie making ever. I was totally taken with the film, but it got into me so much, which means it was made well, that I had that effect on me, that I'm going to watch it a second time for a purely critical eye.
Sure.
And I'm going to absorb. But I got to be in the right mood. I know the mood I have to be in to watch this. I can't just turn it on tonight.
I think that's good. I heard one of my friends say that they didn't like the movie, that it was not a really great movie. And upon further sort of dialogue with this person, it came out that they just didn't like the way the movie made them feel. And it's like, that doesn't mean it's a bad movie. In fact, that means it's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like exactly. If it makes you feel uncomfortable to the point where you damn near don't like the experience, I think that there's a message being conveyed in that film, and it's hitting you right where it was intended to.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, means it worked. So, you know, go see it, folks, but pick your moment. Pick your poison when you watch this movie.
Yeah, it's not Jack Nicholson's Joker by any means.
Well, that's because a lot of people go in expecting the comic book and the past Jokers that have been, in that. And you're exactly correct. And that's probably one of the reasons that it's affecting people that way. All right, a little feel-good story to end the show with. A family making a 3D-printed Lamborghini replica. And what I mean by that, you've heard about these 3D things they do.
Oh, it's amazing,
It's amazing. So
it's a little bit scary, too.
Yeah, no, it is. But in this case, it worked out really well. And this is a feel-good, Christmas gift for this family. But what started out as a real simple game between a father and son, it turned into a Christmas surprise of a lifetime from the Italian maker, the supercar maker Lamborghini. And this family's in Erie, Colorado. All right. Sterling Backus and his son, Xander, 54-year-old man, 12-year-old son, were playing a racing simulation video game called Forza Horizon 3 one day when Xander asked his dad if they could build their favorite car, which is a Lamborghini Aventador, if I said that correctly. So Backus, the father, he's a physicist at Thor Labs. And he's always been a Lamborghini guy. So when his son asked him, he didn't hesitate. So the two started planning their project. This is back in 2018 in February. And it resulted in a surprise phone call 2 months later from a person named Katja Bassi, who's the chief marketing officer of Lamborghini Automobile. And he gets the call. And his words were, he was shaking his boots because it's like getting a call from the Pope that he's coming to dinner. So they said they want to shoot a holiday commercial with his family, right? In addition, they were going to loan them a real Lamborghini for 2 weeks. So there were only 649 of these cars sold last year. They'd sell for like $460,000. So they basically drove the Lamborghini every day, right? Every day for 2 weeks. So pretty incredible. You know, they get a call, they get that, and they spent $23,000 on the project to make this 3D car.
Wow.
And I'm looking at it. It looks incredible.
Yeah.
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 Interesting. Family project turns good.
And that's great. There are a lot of things like that that I think a lot of people get away from. You're building something, making something, and doing good with it. Like,
what we used to do as kids, DJ, I don't know about you, but I used to make those little monster models and the car models,
oh, yeah.
Get out my glue and everything. Is that still a thing with kids today?
My son does it. And okay, cool. I will tell you straight up, though, Bruce, he's the only one of his classmates that does. And he mainly does it because my wife is really kind of a gearhead, which is not all that common of women, but she really likes cars. And her family has been very mechanical their entire lives. And she enjoys teaching him how to put together a model and you know, what the model of the car is, the make and model of the car, when it was built and things like that. And my son just gets a kick out of it. But none of his friends seem interested in any of that stuff.
Gotcha.
My son has a video game, Bruce, that's called Disassemble 3D, where the game is literally taking apart things from fighter jets to skill cranes.
I love that. I think that's great. Now, that to me is a very cool video game. It's like ones I've seen Henry do where he builds cities, and it takes him forever to do that. You know, so, yeah, listen, there's pluses and minuses to video games. It's all about discipline, and they can be beneficial at the same time. So, what can I say? Listen, TJ, I want to tell you that December, I guess because of Christmas and whatever the reasoning, record month for video orders and audio orders coming into Buffer Enterprises, both through my website, brucebuffer.com, and also through Cameo. That has taken off. I did like, I don't know, 30 Cameo videos last month amongst all the ones that came in, which was much, much more through brucebuffer.com. So I hope everybody was happy. I know you were, because the thank you notes, Kristen and I truly appreciate them for all those listening that have ordered. And I hope you're happy, as I know you are. I know I said that twice because I hope you're happy. But we're back in 2020. People were asking me if we're going to raise the prices. No, we have not raised the prices for 2 years. Okay. And we don't plan on raising the price this year unless we have to, because I just got a new car. No, I'm just kidding. All right, TJ, what's going on with you for the beginning of the year? I've got UFC 246 next week. We'll talk about them more in the show next week. The Conor McGregor's back. Cowboy Cerrone coming in to do his thing. It's going to be a hell of a show. Sold out, over $10 million at the gate. What can we do but expect a really, really big show, because Conor McGregor is coming back, and we all know everybody's going to want to watch it. And I'm looking forward to being in the octagon, but we'll elaborate much more next week, because that's when the show takes place.
Yes. To answer your question, nothing much is going on with me.
Sure.
January is kind of a down month. Fight Pass doesn't really do a lot to start the year. So I'm at home until February 7th. And on that date, I'll be in Kansas City calling the first Invicta card of 2020. But short of that, I'm hanging out.
Sounds good. Relax, enjoy, gear up, and have a great year in 2020. I wish that for everybody out there, all of our listeners. Have a great 2020. TJ, we're going to sign off, so please sign off, and I will do the same.
All right, follow me on Twitter at TJ DeSantis, Instagram as well. He's Bruce Buffer, at Bruce Buffer UFC.
All right, TJ, I'll talk to you next week. We'll have a cool guest for next week. Sammy Phillips was supposed to be on the show today. She got called out for a production she's working on at the last minute. I'll talk to her. Maybe we'll have her on next week, or we'll have somebody else, but it's always great to have Sammy on the show. Everybody, thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate all your dedication and your loyalty as listeners. The listening audience keeps growing, growing, and growing internationally, which makes us all very, very happy. I wish all of you the best of health, wealth, and prosperity, and happiness for 2020. Be the best you can be. And you know how I like to say that? Set your goals. Write them down. Learn about them. So when you set on that path, you do the best job you can do. Because if you do the best job you can do and be the best you can be, then you are winning. So let's all win as much as we can and be the best we can be in 2020. I got your back. I appreciate your having ours. Have a great week, everybody. Love you. And Buffer is out. Be back next week.
The preceding podcast was a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be directed to DeSantisProd@gmail.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.